transcendent wisdom, the kind that will allow you to overcome, the kind that will allow you to transcend, to go beyond, to rise above. That's what we need today. But I want you to understand something. The world is seeking for wisdom. And that's been the case since the very Garden of Eden. In fact, in the garden, mankind desired to have wisdom. Did you ever stop to think that one of the things that occasioned the fall of mankind was Eve's desire to be wise? If you recall there in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, you can read the dialogue between the devil and Eve and how that the devil said of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil that it is able to make thee wise, that you'll be as God. It's able to make you as wise as God. She was tempted with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And the pride of life led her to think, I'll be as smart as anyone can possibly be. I'll know everything that God knows. And she wanted to have that. She wanted to have it. Consider the fact that what occasioned the fall of us all was a desire for wisdom. Wisdom. As I think about real wisdom, I think about the contrast that there is in the Scripture between earthly wisdom and true godly wisdom. That's contrasted very clearly in James chapter 3. In my reading this week, I read from J.I. Packer, who had some interesting thoughts on the subject of wisdom. And he said, wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. Wisdom is, in fact, the practical side of moral goodness. As such, it is found in its fullness only in God. He alone is naturally and entirely and invariably wise. You think of that. He's the only one who is truly good. And I want you to understand that wisdom is far more than just knowledge. Wisdom is the understanding of knowledge, the desire to know how to righteously apply that truth. And so today what we need is that transcendent wisdom that will not lead us into further heartache and misery, but will help us to rise above that because we have chosen the wisdom of this world. Now, it should be the desire of every Christian to have it. Without that wisdom, we would lead only foolish lives. And it's sad to say that that's what many people are living. Do you know, when I was in high school, I was a little insecure. No, I wasn't a little insecure. I was a lot insecure. Anybody else, when you start high school, you're insecure. You know, I kept waiting for my growth spurt, and it never came. You know, I from the time I was in the eighth grade till now, I'm the same height that I was. You know, and I was a tremendous athlete, and I still am. And, and the older I get, the better I was. You know what I'm talking about? And, but anyway, I still, you know, they told me when I went into high school, you should probably be on the wrestling team because you're not that tall. And that to me was like saying sick 'em to a dog. All I wanted to do then was be on the basketball team and to achieve and excel. And so I did. And, anyway, I was very insecure in high school. I had this thick, bushy head of hair, and I'm not going to tell you what my nickname was that was given to me by my buddies, because if you used it on me, then I'd have to kill you. And but I had an afro at a point in time, you know. Can you envision that? I know you're probably sitting there now saying, I see that thick, full head of hair you've got, and I can. And But you know, I had this thick, full head of hair, and I some days couldn't put a comb through. I didn't know what to do with it. You know, I had pimples all over my face, and you know, I just was as insecure as it got. You know, and so when it came to like wanting to date girls, I was really sheepish about it, you know. And I would fawn over girls and follow them around school and want to carry their books and stuff. And I had a little girl that kind of decided she was going to go out with me. And, you know, I just followed her around everywhere and gave her anything she wanted, did anything, you know, carried her books and gave her my lunch money and everything else. And I thought, man, this is great. You know, she wants me to be around. You know, this is cool, man. You know, she dumped me. Yeah, you know, and some of my friends were consoling me, and they said, you're better off chapel without her. And I said, what are you talking about? They said, you know what? You look like an idiot following her all over the campus, giving her your milk money and carrying her books. You look like a little, you know, lost puppy. You know, wandering around. You look like an idiot. You look like a fool, man. We're glad she dumped you. I'm like, oh, yeah, me too, you know. That's for her. Who needs her anyway, you know? I'm going to tell you something. I was blind, oblivious to the fact that I was looking like a fool there. And I want to tell you something. There are some of you that are trying to live the Christian life in your own wisdom. And you know what? You're just like I was in high school. Thinking, man, I'm going after the American dream, and I'm going for the gusto, and I'm so smart in the way I'm doing it. But if you're not doing it God's way, I want to tell you something. I can't wait till you get dumped. So I can tell you, you know what? You look like just a fool. You're playing the fool, man, because you're not doing it with transcendent wisdom, godly wisdom. Amen? Are you hearing me? Okay, now I think it's important for us to understand something here, to see the, number one, the definition of godly wisdom. The definition of godly wisdom. Now, the Bible tells us in verse number 24 of chapter 1, it says, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Do you see that? Christ is the wisdom of God. Look at in chapter 1 and verse number 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Do you see that? So Jesus is to us wisdom. It's wisdom. Now, I want you to see in chapter 2 and verse number 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God. Now, I believe that it's important for us to compare Scripture with Scripture. And understand this. I believe a simple definition for godly wisdom is found here. Godly wisdom is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Look at verse 16 of chapter 2. Are you there? And it says this, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know what it's in reference to here, my friends? Godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is the mind of Christ. It is the mind of Christ. Now, I want to tell you this, that only Jesus Christ, secondly, only by Christ may transcendent truth be discovered and lived. That's the only way. That's the only hope that we have. You know what the Bible says in Romans 11? It says in verse number 33, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You see, the depth of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments. I want to tell you something. You're not going to find them in a college classroom. You're not going to find them in the institutions of higher learning. You're going to find it in what reveals the mind of Jesus, thus saith the Lord. And I want you to understand that only by Christ may transcendent truth be discovered and lived. Now, thirdly, we see wisdom is found in the one that we are to seek. Wisdom is found in the one that we're to seek. Now, I think if I were to ask you to quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that there would be a large number of you that could do it. How many of you think you probably could? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Okay. trust in the Lord with all... How many of you think, okay, I remember that one now. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean on to thine understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths, right? So, but look, there's something else right there in that passage of Scripture that bears our consideration. For the Bible says in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So, be not wise. Don't think you're so smart and you know it all. Right? Because if you think that, nobody likes you and wants to be around you. Right? Yeah, I was telling the folks on Wednesday night that my kids every once in a while want to get the iPhone and they want to talk to Siri. You know you're really miserable when you're having conversations with Siri on the phone. Right? Just because you got nobody to talk to. And so they were in the car one day and they were pressing, and Phoebe said, Siri, what's 0 times 0? Well, Siri said, let me think about that. And it's blowing my mind, you know. And then Siri came on and said, imagine that you had... he said, that does not make sense, but imagine that you had 0 friends and 0 cookies. How many cookies could you give to your friends? And then they said, what this means is that you're sad because you have no friends, and Cookie Monster is sad because he has no cookies. Now, you know, I got to tell you, I know some people that are pretty sad. They're some sad creatures, and because they think they're smart, they get around people and they're arrogant, and nobody can stand to be around them. So I got to say, if you're lonely, there might be a reason. So, you know, I tell you what to do. You can develop some meaningful relationships on Facebook. And then when you get ready to move, they'll all be there to help. Can I get a witness? No? That ain't happening, is it? No. So, you know, why don't you come to church and make some real friendships? You know what? You come to church, I promise I won't unfriend you. I'll tell you one better than that. Jesus said, I won't unfriend you forever. Amen? Amen. So why don't you get off of Facebook and get in the book? Praise the Lord. Amen. NSA is using Facebook to check up on you anyway. So I'm not going to give them the benefit of providing them information, right? They want to know about me, they can come find out for themselves. Anyhow, what I want you to see is this. Look, wisdom is found in the one that we're to seek. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So, in other words, he's saying, happy is the man that findeth it. In other words, it's something to be desired after, something to be sought after. The Bible says in chapter 4 and verse 7 that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. You get the idea that we need to seek after godly wisdom? Yeah, you do? I'm glad both of you get that. That's really an encouragement to me on Labor Day. I'll just keep laboring to try to communicate it. But, you know, the Bible says this in James chapter 1. If any man among you lack wisdom, can I get a witness? Yeah. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So if I believe that transcendent wisdom comes only from God, and I'm facing a circumstance or a situation in my life that I can't seem to get over, under, around, or through, then I need the kind of wisdom that only God can give. And he said, if you come to me believing, I promise you, I'm not going to upbraid you. I'm not going to be upset with you for coming. I'm going to give you the wisdom that will help you to overcome it. Amen? That's what we need. And so we see the definition of godly wisdom. And then we see, secondly, the determination of godly wisdom. The determination of godly wisdom. As we read, beginning in verse 29 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible says that no flesh should glory in His presence. For of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory where? In the Lord. Say it with me. In the Lord. So if I want to exult or rejoice in anything, guess what? I want to do it in the Lord. I think about what Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verse 14. He said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he didn't want to exult in his own flesh. He was caught up into the third heaven, and he didn't want to be lifted up with pride, and God didn't want him to. So God gave him a thorn in the flesh to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. And God said, I'm going to give you grace to deal with that thing, my friend. And so understand this, that his purpose was not to write a book and make a movie so that everybody could know about Paul and know what he experienced. His purpose was entirely focused on one person, and it's found here, verse 1 of chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Do you know what the determination of true godly wisdom is? It is to glorify God. It is to glorify God. To say, look, with my life, in everything that I say and do, whatever the choices are that God leads me to, I want God to be glorified in all of these things. Amen? Sometimes we want self to be glorified. We want people to give us an attaboy and pat us on the back. And sometimes if they won't, we'll take our shoulder out of socket trying to pat our own selves on the back, right? Because we're so proud of us, right? You know, some people that have low self-esteem, they really don't have low self-esteem. They have really high self-esteem. You know why? The fact is they're depressed because everybody else doesn't have the same high opinion of them that they have of themselves. Amen. I mean, there's one honest creature here. It would take someone from Texas to show that level of sincerity today. But, you know, I want you to know that look, sometimes that's the case, but there must be a determination to glorify God. Secondly, any wisdom that seeks to glorify man or his ways is not godly wisdom. It's not godly wisdom. Now, you know, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that the election this year for the highest office in the land isn't electing someone to be our Sunday school teacher. Amen. Because there aren't any candidates out there that we'd want to teach us the Bible. Amen. And I'm glad that they're not candidating to be our pastor or a deacon. Amen. And so I'm not saying anything about that. But what I want to say to you is this, that I think when we have wisdom and it's all about trying to make a name for ourselves, trying to leave our own legacy, enduring legacy. By the way, that's why a lot of men go through what they call midlife crisis. They have this meltdown because they think, you know, I've lived the majority of my working years and I'm looking around and wondering what my legacy will be. What am I going to leave behind me when I'm gone? How will I be remembered? And they think that there's very little left there that could be spoken of. And so, you know, they grow a mustache and they change their hairstyle and they buy a car that they can't afford with the rag top. And they start doing stupid things. And the fact of the matter is, my friends, that it's not all about you. Did you hear me? Who's it about? It's about Jesus. And so that needs to be our determination, to seek to glorify Him and not self. You know, there's Trump Towers. Do you know what? I think those were built before he placed his faith in Jesus Christ. But I wonder if he walked with the Lord for a long time, if that would be how he would do it. I don't know. You don't know either. I smell wood burning. But that's okay. I want to say this. Christ is the center of true wisdom and therefore the object of it. He's the center of true wisdom. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2, Or chapter 2 and verse number 3. A little dyslexic this morning, forgive me. But it says, for in Him, meaning Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all wrapped up in Him. So if you want godly wisdom, you know what you need to seek? Seek Christ. Seek Jesus. You know, listen, I'm going to tell you something. When I go out and knock on people's doors throughout the course of the week, when I talk to people about the Lord, you know what? I'm not trying to get them to come to church. The end all for me is not having a full house, although that would be nice. It takes just as much work for me to preach to 3 people as it does to preach to 300 or 3,000. I know that I'd rather preach to the 3,000. But let me tell you something, friends. When I go and I knock on doors and I talk to people about the Lord, I'm not trying to win them to my church. I'm not trying to win them to a denomination. I'm not trying to win them over to my school of thought. I'm trying to win them to a person. I'm trying to lead them to a person whose name is Jesus. Why? Because in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." And what I'm saying to you is this: it isn't all about us, it's all about Jesus. Amen? Now, folks, that should be our determination. And understand, thirdly now, if you would with me, the declaration of godly wisdom. The declaration of godly wisdom. Paul said in chapter 2 and verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." That's the worldly sort. "Declaring unto you the testimony of God." So what did he want to do? He wanted to declare godly wisdom. To declare godly wisdom. Understand that this is the essence of our message. God's wisdom, not our wisdom. Now, you could go to some church somewhere and hear some dry toast lecture from Dr. Fancy Pants that can read in 20 different languages and doesn't understand any of it, you know, but man, it sure sounds good. He's reading the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic and doesn't understand the English parts. Do you know what I'm saying? And man, you could paper the walls with his degrees and my, isn't he ever smart? But he doesn't seem to have anything to help you with your problem. He doesn't seem to have any real wisdom to deal with your marital issue or help your kid that's on dope or to help you when you are in absolute distress. And what I'm saying to you is that Paul said, "When I came to you, I wasn't declaring the wisdom of this world. I didn't come trying to correct what the Bible said God said. I didn't come thinking I was smarter than God and I was going to put my pedigree out there in front of everybody and make you so impressed with everything that I know that you're just going to lay down before me and say, let me just tap into the source of human wisdom and knowledge." No. It wasn't about that. He said, "I want to give you the message of God. I want you to understand and know the mind of Christ, not the heart and the mind of Paul. I want you to know what God's Word says." Understand this. Secondly, we have no wisdom apart to impart without God. We have no wisdom to impart. You know, I can't declare anything if I don't have this book. Do you understand that? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I can stand up here and give you my opinion about life and things. But you know what they say about opinions, don't you? Yeah, I'm not going to repeat it in church. We're broadcasting now. Some say, "Thank you, Pastor." It's the one time I used a little restraint, huh, honey? but understand this. Look, it's not about my opinion. You know what my opinion matters? Nothing. You know what? Neither does yours. You know what we declare? We preach Christ. He is wisdom. Of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and all of these things. Why? Because we don't have it without Him. I might have the wisdom of the world. I might know what traffic laws are and say, you know, I need to obey the traffic laws. But, you know, God places a principle within my heart that says, you know, obey the laws of the land in Romans chapter 13. So it gives me a principle to know, to take the knowledge and to use godly wisdom to apply that knowledge. I'm simply saying to you today that the declaration of godly wisdom can never be made apart from this book. And His mind, thirdly, and His heart are revealed in His Word. If you're looking at a situation and you can't find a way through, over, under, or around, then, my friends, you need transcendent wisdom, and you're not going to have it apart from this book. You can call a radio talk show host. You could talk to Dr. Oz or Dr. Phil, or you can go on Oprah, or you can call some Christian radio broadcaster and see if you could tap into their wisdom to know exactly what to do. But I want to tell you, my friends, there is no substitute for digging into the Word of God and finding answers for yourself. You know how I've learned a lot of the Bible? It's not by sitting in classrooms, though I've done a lot of that. But I want to tell you that I've learned the Bible by going out and talking to folks and having them stump me. You know, they ask me questions and they say, "Wow, that's a whopper. I'm going to be honest with you right now. I don't know how to answer that. But you know what? Give me a little bit of time. I'll come back and I'll give you a good answer." And you know what? Then I go back to the study. I open my Bible. I dig in and I study and I study and I study. You know why? I say, "I'm never going to be stumped on that one again." And when I dig it out for myself and I make tracks through the Bible for myself, guess what? I remember it. If I just Google it, you know what? If I don't print it out and look at it all the time, it doesn't stay with me because it wasn't a dynamic of God doing it in my life. And then I still can't find it in here if I lost the paper or I don't have Wi-Fi. My friends, I want to tell you, God's Wi-Fi is never broken. And He's given us His Word, and God wants you to hide it in your heart to be filled with transcendent wisdom so that when you're confronted with problems, you have what you need to rise above, and so that God can on eagle wings guide you to a safe haven and to bring you to a place of peace. Understand, my friends, that fourthly, that we see the demonstration of godly wisdom. The Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 2, you still with me? Say amen. Okay, good. In verse 4, the Bible says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of what? Man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the what? Spirit and of power." Now, I want to say this to you, that the wisdom of God is not a performance, but a demonstration. It's not something we perform. It's something that God demonstrates. Now, when Paul said here that it was in demonstration of the Spirit and power, his preaching that was defined by the wisdom of God, not man's wisdom, but the wisdom of God was in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Now, Brother Bobby, you'd be interested to know that the word demonstration there means a legal demonstration that provides proof that can be substantial. Now, it's legal proof that what God said is true. It's legal proof. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know a lot of people that call themselves Christians, and they put on a show when they come to church. And you know what it is? It's a great performance, right? How many of you like me and you've ever played the part of the hypocrite? Raise your hand up. All right, am I the only one? All right, the rest of you are being a hypocrite right now because you didn't raise your hand. All right? So, hey, raise your hand if you're ever like me and you played a part of the hypocrite, all right? You knew better and you still didn't do better, didn't you? Yeah, that's right. And you try to be two people. You try to be one person at the church, and you try to be somebody else over at the workplace, and somebody else yet all together at home. And I'm going to tell you something, that this is a hard life, right? How many of you know that this world is cold and doesn't care? Right? You know, I talked to this young lady that we had the service for her mother yesterday, and she sat in my office and cried and said, "You know, I just lost my mom, and it seemed so cold and calculating to be having them want to check my assets and make sure that I could pay the bill before they even took my mom from the hospital to the funeral home. And it was so hard on me. It seemed like nobody cared for me." And I want to tell you something, that's how this world is. It's hard. And we try to put up a front and put on airs and be somebody. And it's hard to live one life, let alone two, isn't it? It's twice as hard to live two lives and do it consistently. Isn't it? Yes. Look, it's time for us to just decide. I'm going to have godly wisdom and I'm just going to be God's person all the time. I'm done playing games. I'm just going to be honest. It was Mark Twain that says, "You know what? If you just tell the truth all the time, you won't have to remember what you said." You understand? Amen. So just be who God has called you to be. Be filled with godly wisdom. And what I'm saying to you is this. It's not a performance. You putting on the dog trying to get everybody to think that something's going on in you that's not really going on there. But let the Holy Spirit of God do in your life and through your life what only He could do. And it will be proof positive, a legal proof that what's going on there is true, it's righteous, it's wisdom, it's what God's doing, not what man is trying to do to make everybody think that something good is going on here. We put on so many airs and we talk up a good game. And I can remember I had a professor in Bible college, Dr. Ferguson, and you know, he used to like to impress everybody with his big words, as you know, $10 words all the time, and I guess that's what's supposed to happen when you're like in, you know, theology 4, you know, and it was like a 7:30 class, and he was always using these big words, and you know, I was a student of the Word of God too, and I thought I had a pretty expanded vocabulary, and you know, when I was a kid, I had the old blueback speller, and I read from the McGuffey readers, and I thought I knew a little bit too, and so whenever he said one of those $10 words, I would just write it down. And I kept a little page in my notebook. By that time, I wasn't sleeping through all my classes. And I took a little page, and I was writing down all these theological terms that he would write on the board, or that he would say, and be so impressed with himself over, you know. And so one morning there, he was droning on and giving all these things, and I wrote down, and I raised my hand. He said, "Yes, Mr. Chappell, you have a question?" And I said, "Dr. Ferguson, I would like to ask, you mentioned a term, and I wrote it down here, and it's this term. Can you tell me what that means?" I said that? Can you spell that? Well, I started laughing. He said, "You got me. You got me." You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to make everybody in that room think that he was smarter than he really was. How many times have we been in a group and we've wanted people to think that we walk closer to God than we really do? But I want to tell you, when it's God's wisdom in me, it's the Spirit of God on full display. It's not a performance. It's a demonstration. And we see, secondly, it is the Spirit of God that reveals the wisdom of God is powerful and transformative. That's the only thing that can do it. And thirdly, see, a life of faith that trusts godly wisdom is a sincere demonstration of the power of God. Do you know what? I'm going to tell you something. If it's godly wisdom and you're living it, that we ought to be able to follow you around and see it on full display. We ought to be able to follow you to your house and see it continuing there. We ought to be able to go to work with you and videotape you and discover that you're living out your faith. Amen? Amen. Folks, I've been challenged at times. I've had people ask me that question, that if you were on trial, charged with the crime of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence gathered to convict you as charged? Would to God they could. Would to God they could. We see, lastly, the discernment of godly wisdom. How do I discern it? You know, it's one thing to have knowledge. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And let me tell you the difference, may I? I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm going to share a verse with you in a minute. But I want you to understand this. That Solomon is often referred to as the wisest man to have ever lived. How many of you know that? Solomon, wisest man to have ever lived. And so when he asked God at the beginning of his reign, "Give me knowledge and wisdom," God gave it to him, right? God gave him knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge was the information. The wisdom was the mind of Christ to know what to do with that information. Do you understand? Now, how many of you have ever had the knowledge base to know what was right, but you didn't exercise the wisdom to do what was right? You see the difference? So once wisdom is given, you don't just all of a sudden, from that point forward, always do the right thing, do you? Do you? That's what I thought. Bunch of heathen. Hey, I'm in the bunch too, man. I might be the head heathen, I don't know. But look, we cannot know the wisdom of God in our natural thinking. Did you know that? You can't. Unsaved people, they'll never know it. The Bible says here, look, chapter 2, verse 14. Okay? It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. If I'm unsaved, I'm spiritually dead. I'm not discerning anything. Right? That's right. So, look, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do I have it? The truth contained in the book and the Spirit of truth to make it real in me. The truth contained in the book and the Spirit of truth to make it real in me. That's how I have the mind of Christ. We cannot know the wisdom of God in our natural thinking. We see, secondly, the only way we can live lives that demonstrate godly wisdom is by the fullness of the Spirit in our lives. By the fullness of the Spirit in our lives. I want to ask you a question. You ever had anybody, when you told them that you go to church, you decided to put on that other church hat, and they're like, oh, great. Is your church Spirit-filled? How many of you ever heard that one? I get that all the time. People hear that I'm a Christian, and I had somebody at the bank ask me the other day, is your church Spirit-filled? I said, oh, yes, we are. And they said, well, you know, I mean, what I mean is, do you guys really worship the Lord? I said, man, do we ever worship the Lord? And I mean, they said, what I mean is, do you have, like miracles and things? I said, man, we have a miracle service every time we open the door. They said, you do? I said, man, the greatest miracle that God ever did was the new birth. Yeah. Right? And we have that happen around our place every single week. Yeah. You know what? Those people don't rejoice in the new birth. They don't. You know what? They'd rather pray for somebody's foot. You know what Jesus said? If your foot offends you, cut it off. It's better to go through life without a foot than to go into hell fire with 2 feet. Yeah. You know, we get all excited because somebody's foot got healed. You know what? God said, I want you to rejoice that your name is in heaven. Yeah. We want to rejoice because somebody's foot got fixed. Come on, man. You know, listen. Are you Spirit-filled? Now, you know what? We hear that, and we've been so indoctrinated to the ways of modern-day Christianity that we don't even really know what the fullness of the Spirit looks like. We wouldn't know what it was if it smacked us in the face, filled with the Spirit. We think it's someone rolling around on the floor, jumping around in church and waving their arms and talking another language. You think that's the fullness of the Spirit? That may have been one evidence at a time that was going on. But I'm going to tell you, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us what it is. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, the fullness of the Spirit will be demonstrated in your life, first of all, by a joyful spirit. Secondly, by a grateful heart. Thirdly, by a sacrificial spirit, a submitted spirit, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Because right after the admonition to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:17, that's what it tells us. When did you hear that on TBN? That's what I thought. When did you hear that on Daystar? That's what I thought. You know what you need to do? You need to tune into some godly wisdom. It's right here. It's in the book. Amen. I know somebody's mad at me right now because I that's your deal. Look, all I'm saying is, you know what? God's plan is a local church. You know, one of the names for a pastor is didaskalos, which means a teacher. You know what I'm to teach? Godly wisdom. You know what? There are a lot of people that think, well, you know, I don't need that much wisdom. I have a lot already, so I'm just coming once a week. Have you ever heard that one? We have Sunday school and then we have church. I had a guy one day after Sunday school say, man, Pastor, my cup is running over. You gave me so much Bible. I'm going home because I'm already on information overload. Nobody walking out saying, I'm not getting fed here. Some people say, man, I'm getting overfed. Well, you know, go out there and exercise yourself unto godliness. Go ahead. Go ahead on. Amen. Just have a blast. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Give something out. Don't just take it in. Amen? Well, you know, you see, the thing is, I know. You know, listen. Lastly, I want you to see, carnality will hinder our ability to know the wisdom of God. Carnality will hinder our ability. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Are you there? You in 1 Corinthians still? You there? Say yes. Okay, you see chapter 3, verse 1?
Yes.
Okay, what's the first word?
And.
Do you know what that is? It's a conjunction. That's connecting these two portions of Scripture. So they're interrelated, they're interdependent. And you know what? So he talks about having the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God and that it's only spiritually discerned. And then he continues his thought by saying, and I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You know why? Listen, he said, I wanted to give you all this great godly wisdom, but you were so carnal, you couldn't receive it. I wanted to give you steak, but I had to feed you mashed up squash. Bleh. Right? I had to feed you pablum because you're so carnal, you couldn't grasp what I was trying to give you. Do you know, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of folks come into church and say, well, I just don't get it, or I don't know what they're all excited about, or, you know, well, that's good for them. You know why you feel like that? Because you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit of God at all. At all. You've given yourself entirely over to worldly wisdom. Entirely to worldly wisdom. You know, okay, let me just relate something to you, okay? I had somebody the other day kind of upset with me. They said, you know, I went through a hard time and there was nobody there for me at church. The church let me down. So I'm going somewhere else. I'm not going to church. I still love God. I read my Bible at home, but I'm not going to church anymore. So they joined another organization. And they're having their social needs met there. Okay. Now, how many of you know that the church is the bride of Jesus Christ? How many of you know that? How do you know that? You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul said, I have a spouse who is a chaste virgin unto Christ. He said, man, I officiated the wedding, you know, between you and Jesus, right? You're joined to Him in marriage. It's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You know, Ephesians chapter 5. Look, you know that, don't you? Okay? Now, let me ask you a question, all right? Let's use a little rationale for a second. Worldly wisdom. Okay? You know, you hear that somebody stepped out on their spouse. Boy, we're mad. That skunk. That's terrible. And you talk to the person that stepped out. You know what they say? My spouse was frigid, judgmental, mean, and unkind. They never showed me any love, any warmth, any tenderness. And I finally found somebody that would. And so, you can judge me if you want to, but I was just going where I could get my needs met. Okay? Is that okay? Is it okay?
No.
It's not? Why? Then how's it okay for the bride of Jesus to do that? To say, the church let me down. It wasn't meeting my needs. So you know what? I'm not going anymore. You know what you're doing? You're wallowing around in the wisdom of this world. So far out of touch with the Holy Spirit's leadership that you wouldn't know it if it hit you in the face. And wonder why you can't deal with your problems. And mad that they're not beating a path to your door from church to try to help you through it. Where's the path from your door to the church to help somebody else? Huh? Smarty pants? Mr. Great Christian? Where is it? You want, look, it's a two-edged sword. You want to use that rationale? Let's apply it all the way. Amen? Is it okay? Yes or no? Folks, listen. I'm gonna wrap it up and we'll go home here, eat some chicken or something. But I want to tell you something. Okay. I'm gonna just read something to you and then we'll wrap it up and we'll go home. God told Solomon when he asked for wisdom and knowledge. Because you didn't ask me for riches, but wisdom and knowledge to judge my people righteously, I'm going to give you all of these riches. Gave him everything in the world. And just before Solomon died, this is what was written. King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. He was in love with them. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burn incense and sacrifice unto their gods, the wisest man in the world. You know what? It came to a point in his life where he knew better. He had the knowledge. But he didn't use what God gave him, the wisdom. Do you know what I'm talking to? I'm talking to a lot of folks that have the knowledge. So what are you going to do with that? It's one thing to know what's right. It's something else altogether to do it. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. I don't think it's a coincidence that when Solomon said, God, I want wisdom, want knowledge, that God said, I'm going to give you riches too. You know what we've done as a culture? We've gone after riches and forsaken godly wisdom and have neither. Transcendent wisdom. It'll lift you up on eagle's wings. It'll carry you all the way through. But it's not happening unless we determine that we want the wisdom of God. It can be found. Seek it, embrace it, and live it.